If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
It's the Sunday Night Radio special from the Billy Goat tonight. We're underneath Michigan Avenue, lower level of Michigan Avenue at Hubbard. And these guys recently celebrated birthday number 75 here.
Happy birthday.
Yes. So
birthday 75, and now you have how many shops, how many stores altogether?
Well, hang on. Before we do that, we have to prove we're actually at the Billy Goat, and there's only one way to do that. I'll have a fish sandwich, fries, and a Pepsi, and a salad, all right?
No fish, a cheeseburger.
No fish.
No fries, chips. And no salad. Coke.
But you might get two eggs over easy if you ask nicely.
I doubt it. All right, that's Sam Sianis. He runs the place. We'll get a little bit of the history. And with Sam is his son, Bill. Later, we'll try to get a longtime bartender, Jeff McGill, in on the action. And I guess Rick Kogan, in addition to working for the Tribune and WGN, could be considered the official Billy Goat historian. Would you say so there, Rick?
I actually feel like part of the family here, or the official living Billy Goat ghost. But I'll tell you the interesting thing about the book that I wrote about the Billy Goat, a Chicago tavern a few years ago. Sam came up to me and said, Rick, I would like, here's my good imitation of you, Rick, I would like you to write a book. And I go, Sam, if you want a book just for tourists, you and I could go in your office and slap this together in about 10 minutes. You know, a few Royko stories, a bunch of pictures, a few Saturday Night Live things. And Sam, God love him, said, no, Rick, I want a book that talks about my uncle, how he comes here. So the book actually became this kind of, what I think, this wonderful, you know, American dream story, how this place was founded. His uncle came here with $5, for goodness sake, without being able to speak any English. And not by dint of any public relations efforts. You know, had the Cubs won anything close to 1945 when they lost the World Series, there'd be no Cubs curse. If a guy named Don Novello, an ad guy, had not walked in here and witnessed the whole cheeseburger, cheeseburger lunch thing, there would have been no skin on Saturday Night Live. You could not make this stuff up if you tried. That's why I think it's a really genuine story. And the other thing, Bob and Marianne, 75 years, you don't exist, especially in this precarious business, for 75 years because, hey, the Cubs have never won, and Saturday Night Live did a skit. These guys, you walk in here at 7 o'clock in the morning and see Sam, who owns all these places, working the grill. You'll see Bill here. Bill was here on New Year's Eve saying, well, Rick, I've got to go out to the Navy Pier, and Sam was working New Year's Eve, too. It's that kind of that amazing work ethic that I think you celebrate at this birthday.
You know, I brought Marianne here tonight, not only because she is always the co-anchor of the Sunday Night Radio special.
Thanks, Bob.
But you wanted to try to get her drunk.
No.
I get it.
I thought, well, this will be very handy having Marianne here to translate. And then I remembered, wait a minute, Marianne is fluent in Spanish, not Greek. Sorry.
Okay, I'm out of here, Bob. No, it's great to be down here. And I love that story of your uncle with the $5 in his pocket and in New York and then coming, taking the train to Chicago. Why Chicago? Why did they choose to come here?
In New York, that's what it get off by boat. Same thing with me. Same group. Then from there, he with another brother, two brothers came together here and came here to Chicago because here in Chicago, there was some friends and relative from my hometown, the same hometown, yeah.
What's the hometown? Can you pronounce it for me, please?
Paleopirgos.
Paleopirgos. See, Bob?
Paleopirgos. Good job.
Yes. Just like me, from Greece, in New York, San Francisco. I was out San Francisco for 5 years. Then I came 1960 here to Chicago. Over my uncle's place on Madison Street, and I worked there. The 1963, they built on this building here. It's 1962, and 63 was done, and 64 we opened.
And that's where we are here. The well, we call it the original under Michigan Avenue, but let's bring in young son Bill here. Actually, originally, and you have a newer place on Madison, but that was the original location, or near the original, wasn't it?
Yeah, the original one was where the United Center is right now on that land. And back then they needed parking for the Chicago Stadium, and they decided to knock down all those buildings, and that's when my great-uncle was looking for a place, and he found this place here in 63 and then opened in 64.
And how much did he pay for this place?
I don't know.
But for the old place, the old place right. He famously wrote a bad check for $205, hoping that in the first weekend when he owned this place, which was originally called the Lincoln Tavern, that he would make enough to be able to cover the check. Now, that's entrepreneurship on the kind of Bill Gates level, to my mind.
Is that what happened?
The story was telling me it was some friend, I guess, and he gave me $500. Then he opened up the place, and we tried to get save $500. At the time was big money, you know. Man. Yeah. Then when he had the $500, he put it in his pocket. He went over to see the guy so he could pay him. Then he knocked the door, and his wife come out the door, and I say, "I like to see Mr. I don't know what's name." And she said to him, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm a William Sianis. It was not Billy Goat then. Lincoln Bar." So she said to him, "Come in." He went inside there and said, "Sit down." And he says, "Here's $500. I got it from your husband. I want to give it to him back." Then she said to him, "My husband passed away. He says, if he give to you, keep it." My uncle said, no. He said, no, give it to you, keep it. Then he kept the money, he came back, and I fixed the bar. Because that time they had one bathroom for both men and women.
Oh.
You know, then he changed it, put another bathroom. Good extent.
Why Billy Goat? Explain that.
Oh, it's one of the great stories of all time, and for your listeners of a certain generation, they won't remember this, but this city used to have trucks traveling around filled with livestock, many of them going down to the stockyards. And one day, and this story is true, it sounds apocryphal, but it's true, a goat fell off one of these trucks, wandered into this place called the Lincoln Tavern. And to give
how
you
does
an
a goat wander into a tavern? I mean,
the door's open.
The door's open.
They weren't carting that night.
Marianne, it was a brave and very sophisticated goat.
I can just see it opening the door.
It wanders in. The door was open. It wanders in. And to give you an example of what kind of saloon this was in the day, this goat went unnoticed for 5 or 6 hours. No one noticed that there was a goat wandering around. Eventually, Billy Goat tried to find a home for it. He took it to the police station. They said, you know, we don't want this. And he kept it. And he started...
At the tavern?
Yep, outside in the little yard in the back, yeah.
And he got a glass of milk.
Yeah.
A bottle of milk, you know. And
to feed it. He didn't know how to take care of a goat.
Then he says, then he called papers, because he was a copy boy for the Chicago Tribune, too, mm-hmm. when he was younger, you know, when he first came. And he had a stand over by 47 and Holston.
Holston.
There.
A newsstand.
He was selling newspaper there. And and after that, when he kept that, then he put him in a newspaper. Then he says, Billy Gold's got a goat on his William Sands and a Lincoln Bar there. Then everybody went over there to see that they had him in a paper, yes. Then he changed his name from William Sands to Billy Gold.
And he grew that little kind of goatee. That is how that happened.
So he was,
and you, Bill, and Sam know this. He was perhaps one of the great unsung PR geniuses of all time. He did know a lot of the reporters, because and a lot of the sports guys hung out at the tavern after the thing. But he knew how to use the press in a sort of genuine way that attracted tons of attention.
This is your great uncle we're talking about, Bill, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you named after Billy?
I'm named after Bill. Yeah.
You really are?
Yeah.
So he assumed this name Billy Goat.
Well, that was his. He was William.
It was William.
But,
and then
I mean,
he grew the beard. And if you come down here to the Billy Goat, and I guess this picture is up in all of them, isn't it? Yeah. You can see him on the wall, and many people always think, oh, it's called the Billy Goat because he's got the beard. But that's not it at all. So just let me get this straight. So the original place called the Lincoln Tavern, mm-hmm. was where the United Center is today.
Yes.
And that was the beginning of the Billy Goat.
Yeah.
Okay. Got that. And let's get right to the big myth. Oh, well, you know what? We'll do that after a break. What were you going to say, Sam? Because I do want to get into whether or not the Saturday Night Live sketch, the famous Belushi, Aykroyd, Bill Murray piece, is really based on this place. But what were you going to say first, Sam?
Yeah, he was every time he says, tonight the Billy Goat, the kitty from Kansas City is going to sing at the Billy Goat.
Wait a minute, you lost me here. What are we talking about now?
There were more animals in there. It started with one goat, and then it became, Sam, I don't know, maybe as many as 8 goats and this cat and all these other animals. It was like a zoo in there.
Yeah, he was talking about the kitty from Kansas City. You know, she's going to sing here at the Billy Goat tonight.
The kitty.
She was a big singer those days.
Yeah.
Talking in the 30s, 40s.
Oh.
She was a very popular singer. Then everybody went over there, you know, the Billy Goat there. Everybody was waiting for her to come in singing. Said, well, she's coming. She's ready to come. And you open the door, and the Billy Goat comes in with the goat. He says, this is a kid from Kansas City. You know? Oh, everybody. They had a lot of fun those days.
So how did it work? The goat was inside the tavern at all times, and people ordered food, and then what? Eat the scraps?
No, we had no food. It's a regular bar that time.
Oh, no food.
It's a bar. But it was the bar here.
Was it behind the bar?
No, not behind the bar. It was behind the bar.
Wait a minute, hang on a second. Let me take a break here, try to regain control of the Sunday Night Radio special. Bob Surratt and Marianne Murciano tonight from underneath Michigan Avenue at Hubbard, the Billy Goat, Sam Sianis, who runs the joint, and of course we call it a joint lovingly because that's what it is. And we've got Sam's son Bill with us and Rick Kogan, and we'll be back right after this.
Sunday Night Radio Special, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Bob Surratt and Marianne Murciano back with you tonight. We're spending an hour at the Billy Goat. By the way, how late are you guys open on Sunday night?
Till 2 a.m.
And then the rest of the week?
2 a.m. Just Saturday at 3 o'clock. 3 a.m. on Saturdays.
Marianne, you want to stay till 2?
I think all our listeners should meet up with us here now after the show. I mean, we're done at what time?
11.
11.
Yeah.
So we have 3 hours to go.
I can vouch for this, having closed this place a couple hundred times at 2 and 3 o'clock occasionally with Mike Royko and Tim Weigel. There's no better place to be, no safer place to be for you people who like a cocktail than the Billy Goat at 2 o'clock in the morning.
You know, I've said this before, people in Chicago take it for granted a little bit, but this is the kind of place, and I think of this when I pass by, because on the way to the WGN parking lot, you pass by the Billy Goat underneath Michigan Avenue here at Hubbard, and it's the kind of place, if you discover it in another city, you start calling everybody you know and emailing the world and saying, you won't believe what I found, the unique local place.
Right. I mean, it's amazing. So I want to go back to the place you were talking about, which was like a perpetual Halloween because of all the things that were going on in the original tavern and the animals. And talk about that a little bit.
Oh, well, yes, because first of all, we had the goat on the back. It's a yard in the back there, you know. And the people were coming over there and had a talk to my uncle. My uncle played a lot of jokes with him, you know. He had, somebody called on the phone and says, Marianne, this, you're on the phone. And you come over there, you grab the phone like this, and you squeeze, and the water comes out of the phone.
So practical jokes.
jokes like that. But now there were a lot of movie stars visit him. Uh-huh. You know, those days, the westerns, Alan Ladd, all the people that were there, and big fires, boxers, wrestling. They was across the street, then they stopped up at the Billy Goat's. They had a picture of here. They brought over time the elephant inside with Billy Goat.
An
there.
Elephant?
Yeah.
How did an elephant get in? Don't tell me it fell off a truck.
It was thirsty. It was thirsty.
No, you know why? Because
why does anybody go there? Thirsty.
They had the circus next door by the, inside the stadium, you know? And he come out. They got other pictures there.
All right. Well, let's get to the before we talk about Saturday Night Live, the goat and the Cubs. And all right. So Sam, when Billy Goat Sienas passed away, the tradition continued with Sam, who is the nephew to the man who started it all, who we were talking about earlier. And he was the guy who brought the goat to Wrigley Field. Is that what happened? Wait a minute. Let's get maybe young son Bill can explain this.
Yeah. You know, he had the goats at the bar, so he used to take it to the events and across the street to the Chicago Stadium, sporting events like wrestling and
like
so,
like a date. Like he used to just he and the date.
We took it,
yeah.
right
behind it. But he back then Andy Fran Ushers used to work at the Chicago Stadium, so they knew who Billy Goat was. They used to let him in, watch the games, watch the wrestling matches, and. They also worked at the Wrigley Field at that time. So back then, my great uncle, he bought two tickets, one for himself and one for the goat, to go see the World Series at Wrigley. So he took the goat over there and showed up at the stadium, and the ushers knew who he was, but they didn't know what the rules were at Wrigley. So they called Mr. Wrigley and they said that Billy Goat's here and he's here with his goat. He has two tickets, but what should we do, you know? So
because the goat needed a seat.
Needed a seat, yeah.
Right.
So Mr. Wrigley said, well, let Billy Goat in, but not the goat, because the goat smells. I don't want him around the people and everything. So my great uncle, he got mad. He went, he left the stadium. He went back to the tavern. In the meantime, there were reporters there. They knew that he was going to go, and they wanted to see if he was going to get in or not. And they saw him come back, and he told them the story that, that it won't let me in because the goat smelled. So, they watched the series after that, and they lost the series. And my great uncle sent a telegram to Mr. Wrigley. Said, "Who smells now?" After that,
and did he actually say, "Now we're putting a curse on the Cubs"?
Yeah, and after that, the Cubs were kept losing, and they said, "Well, you put the curse on the Cubs." And he's like, "Yeah, if as long as they don't let me back in, they'll never win a World Series."
Yeah. So. And then your dad, Sam, did come in with a goat some years ago, right? And then you got in, right, Sam?
Yeah, no, 1973, I tried to go with a goat in there.
How many years later was that? When did this happen?
1973, he was trying to get in.
And originally?
So 45.
In 1973, I tried to take the goat there. Dave Condon, who used to be a sports
Condon's. Yeah, Wake of the News, Dave Condon.
Yeah. Legendary.
Yeah, so, I took the goat there, and they didn't let me in. I just go around with the goat. They're not allowed goats there. So I didn't go. I said, goodbye. Bye, Cubs. Then, 1973, the Cubs were winning, I think, 7 games.
Yeah. They were in first place up by 7?
Yeah, 7 games in August. Then I left. I went back to Greece.
And then they finished where?
Then I came back. I came back in September 6. The people called me on the phone. They swear on me, and because the Cubs from 7 were down. They were down to 5. 5 games behind instead of 7 ahead.
5 games out of first
then
instead of 7 in
then
first.
Then 1984, they called me. When the Chicago Tribune got the cup, and then I went there with a gold opening day, they won. Then on the playoffs, I went over there for both games.
But each time you went with the goat?
The Cubs win it.
Yeah.
The Cubs win only when the goat's
only
present.
Only when the goat is there. That's the thing about that team. Maybe these new owners will just have like have a pen of, if I were them, I'd have a pen of goats right behind
them. Tom Ricketts is listening tonight. I think he's trying to see if there will be an exchange policy or a return. All right, let's take a quick break here, and then we'll continue. Bob Surratt and Marianne Murciano with you, and Sam Sianis, who runs the Billy Goat these days, and along with his son Bill, who's actually the manager here, and Rick Kogan with us tonight, and we'll talk more about the Billy Goat history right after this on WGN. And then they finished where?
Then I came back. I came back in September 6th. The people called me on the phone. They swear on me, and they, you know, because the Cubs from 7 were down. They were down to 5. 5 games behind instead of 7 ahead.
Yeah. 5 games out of first instead of 7 in first.
Then 1984, they called me when the Chicago Tribune got the Cup. And then I went there with a gold opening day. They won. Then on the playoffs, I went over there for both games.
But each time you went with the goat?
The Cubs win it.
Yeah.
The Cubs win only when the goat's
only
present.
When the goat is there. That's the thing about that team. Maybe these new owners will just have like have a pen of.
I don't know.
If I were them, I'd have a pen of goats right behind.
Tom Ricketts is listening tonight. I think he's trying to see if there will be an exchange policy or a return. All right, let's take a quick break here, and then we'll continue. Bob Surratt and Marianne Murciano with you, and Sam Sianis, who runs the Billy Goat these days, and along with his son Bill, who's actually the manager here, and Rick Kogan with us tonight, and we'll talk more about the Billy Goat history right after this on WGN. We're back, and we're somewhere beneath the Tribune Tower in the Wrigley Building tonight from the Billy Goat, and this place has been here 44 years. Is that right, Rick? 54 years?
Pushing 50 years, and I actually feel like I've been here for every day of those 50 years. There are people, Bob, who... Bob Borgstrom, the owner of Wendella Boats, was literally the first customer in here when this place opened in 1964 and still comes in every once in a while. Mike Royko, of course, who probably, arguably, without argument, the most famous customer of this place is, and like a brother to Sam, came here because the Daily News was a half block away. This place was so perfectly situated because in those days there were 4 newspapers. For those of you who remember, the Sun-Times and Daily News right over here where Trump Plaza is now, and the Tribune and Chicago American, later Chicago Today. And the printing presses were there, too. So this was a constant flow of thirsty customers.
Why did it attract newspaper writers?
Part of the reason was Billy Goat's long-standing relationship with a lot of reporters. But I must tell you the other thing, and I think Sam would agree, it's location, location, location.
Yeah, they just had to come down a flight of stairs or two, and they're here.
Or stumble down a flight of stairs, and they were here.
And when did you start coming, Rick?
Probably just because I knew Billy, illegally probably, no one can get hurt for that, in the late 60s when I was driving a cab and hanging around. And my dad, of course, worked for the Sun-Times, so I was not at all unfamiliar with this whole area. And this place, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, was this wonderfully exotic place. And the thing about it, you got to remember, this is a neighborhood tavern. You can come in here and buy a cheese, but you don't have to drink in here. That's why, I mean, there are kids in here right now as we're talking, and every weekend this place is filled with kids.
And your dad came here, too?
My dad was more a Ricardo's guy, which was a place right around the corner, because he met my mom there in 1948. Aww. But there were a lot of places, and Sam would remember this, and it goes to the vanishing neighborhood tavern thing. There were so many places around here, Sam, in the day. Yeah. And, again, the fact that you're still here says so much about you.
And these days, even now, people still remember the Saturday Night Live skit that is the reason a lot of tourists make this. This is like the number one stop. I mean, any time that I talk to anybody from out of town and they're coming to Chicago, they must stop by the Billy Goat Tavern because they've heard of it, which is amazing.
Yeah, and the bit... it was called the Olympia Restaurant, I think, when they did it on Saturday Night Live in the 70s. And Belushi came from a family of restaurant people. Let's let Sam's son Bill take it from there. So did you ever get the straight story on where the bit came from?
Well, we got the story you know, from Don Novello, who wrote the skit. He was Father Guido Sarducci on the shows.
Right.
And he used to do advertising here. I don't know if it was Leo Burnett or one of the advertisements in Chicago. And he used to come down here for lunch. In the meantime, Belushi and Bill Murray, and they used to do Second City when they were in Chicago. This was all before Saturday Night Live. They weren't here at the same time, but they were here at separate times, you know. And when they went back to Saturday Night Live, they all knew about Billy Goat. They had all been here. They all got yelled at, you know, yelling the orders. maybe got hit over the head with a
rubber hammer,
plastic hammer or something. And they all knew about the place. So he decided to write the skit. And Belushi, since his background was restaurants, he wanted to play it. And he had seen my dad and the cooks and stuff yell the cheeseburger, cheeseburger, and that's how they became the skit. And Novello, he's written many articles about it, saying that it's come from Billy Goat.
And why did they not name it the Billy Goat in the skit?
Because I think his dad's place was named Olympia.
Mm-hmm. Belushi's. John Belushi's dad.
And he wanted to name it after his dad's place. But they said that the skit came from here.
So the cheeseburger and you know.
Oh, that's right. You're going to get a job here.
Yeah, no Coke.
Cheeseburger.
They didn't invent that on the skit. That's not an exaggeration. Always did that.
Yes, they used to come in here in '69. You know, right over here, right here, and me behind. I asked the people, and I called in the orders. What do you like? Cheeseburger, fries? No fries. Chips. Pepsi? No Pepsi. Coke. Next, you know, this, all day long, you know, and they like the idea, yes. And Don Novello, he's the one who, after we finished Saturday Night Live, he was coming from New York, you know, that time, and he says, let's do the Billy Goat cheeseburger. I said, then okay, they were okay, and John Belushi came over here, but three times, and he worked with me behind here.
He was back there behind the counter?
You mean in preparation for doing the skit? After the skit?
After the skit, yeah. And a couple of times down in MVP, Chicago Fair.
Sam's looking because he thinks somebody's stealing money in the back of the room right now.
that's where they started. Yeah, here. Then I did the Saturday Night Live started in 1975. But they did the Billy Goat 1978.
The skit, yeah.
The skit.
That's when they did it.
They did it in 1978.
Well, they hired Novello, and literally as a writer, and one of his first ideas was this Olympia Diner. And if you can see it on YouTube, you listeners out there, take a look. It is, to that point, the most lavish set that Saturday Night Live had ever built. If you remember it, it's got a grill in there. It's a little kind of diner. It's a working kind of diner.
Aykroyd's behind the counter, right?
And it holds up. I mean, it really does
hold up.
Yeah, I think Robert Klein's the customer, and Billy Murray, I call him Billy, because he's been down. We had dinner years ago. And Billy is the waiter, and it is as hysterical now.
It's hysterical. When you look at it, you think that they shot it at a real diner.
Yeah,
because
of course.
It's so elaborate.
Lorraine Newman, I think, is another customer.
Yeah. The most lavish set they had built to that point.
Let me plug Kogan's book here, Chicago Tavern, A Goat, A Curse, and the American Dream. And it's 75 years. Hey, Elvis, 75, Billy Goat, 75, a lot of milestones here lately. And that's why we're down here tonight, we being Bob Sirott and Marianne Murciano on the WGN Sunday Night Radio Special. And we're with Sam Sianis and his son, Bill. And working back there tonight is Jeff McGill, who's been a bartender here forever. And I imagine he has a few stories, too.
Well, so does Tito Chacon, one of the, and Bush, and a lot of the people. One of the things about this place, too, is you don't engender that kind of staff loyalty by being a fly-by-night operation. I mean, most of these people, I've known Jeff for almost 30 years, and Tito for almost 20, and Bush for 25 years. And how do you keep these guys? How do you keep these guys?
Pay them well?
What's the secret to staff loyalty?
All the chips they can eat.
The first day we opened the place here, my uncle said, there was half of this place. That was right there down. And Mike Mike Ryko and my uncle were sitting over there. So my uncle called me, says, come over, I want to go over there. He says, go bring Mike a drink. I says, this is my nephew, Sam. And I shake hands with him, thank you. Then he drink. Then when he's called to leave, I was there, an accountant. He says to me, you speak in English?
Mike said, the charming Mike Ryko again, yes.
I said, yes, I do.
I think it's great that the walls here are covered with not just pictures, but with newspaper columns.
Oh, I know. It's
this is what passes, to my mind, for a sort of journalism museum. And there are not many people left anymore, Sam and me, who could identify every one of these people up here or who even know the bylines. But it's really... And there are many people who still come in here and appreciate that. It's kind of an homage, certainly, to Mike. There's a lot of Mike Ryko stuff on the walls. But it's also an homage to the history of Chicago journalism, too, I think.
Jeff McGill just joined us here at the table. How many years bartending here, Jeff?
29 years. 29 long years, I guess.
Yeah, when is your book coming out?
You know, I've often been asked this question, and my answer has been for some time now. If I could write a book, I wouldn't be here this long.
Okay. You must have seen some stories that maybe shouldn't be repeated, but why don't you go ahead?
Oh, he wants to keep his job.
And the
customer base, though, has obviously changed over the years, hasn't it?
Well, you know, I don't know. It has in some ways, but I think that the extent of the diversity of customer has remained the same in that sense. That we run the gamut here, and that's been the appeal. For the customer as well as for the employee, I'll speak for myself that it's every walk of life finds its way into this place at some time, and I for one really appreciate that.
What kind of a customer has Rick Kogan been?
Probably the finest customer any saloon has ever had. Jeff and I are friends, so he's unlikely to tell any nasty stories about me.
And Tito's been here. How many years, Tito?
How many years has Tito been here? Yell it out, Tito.
No.
2 years times is about 10 or so. Yeah. Here, I have a question for Sam, and since you're the man who has carried the torch here, how do you feel when people come here, as they do all the time, and they take pictures, and they come up to you and they say, say it for me, Sam, say double cheeseburger for me. How does that make you feel?
Oh, I always feel great, because when they come to me, it says, and I never refuse anybody. I never refuse anybody. You know, all young kids, you know, they ask, then I kebab, say, cheeseburger, or say, can we take a picture with you? Yes. Can I get your autograph? I never say no, always with a smile.
I have witnessed this. I mean, we were here not too long ago, and my niece, who's 12 years old, asked Sam about the cheeseburger and did the whole skit. And you do it every time, you do it as if you were doing it for the first time, Sam.
Cheeseburger.
You set him off, Marianne.
Oh, no, stop, no.
And no Pepsi Coke.
Now, in the original bit, it was milk Coke Pepsi, wasn't it? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Pardon me?
Probably a sponsor.
Yes, yeah, NBC problem.
No Coke Pepsi, but here it's Pepsi, no Coke?
No Pepsi Coke.
No Pepsi Coke. Did you?
Now, what do you think? Don't you think, you guys? Don't you think you can get Marianne a job here? You've heard her try. You can help her do the cheeseburger.
She's got the Cuban accent going on. All right. So now let's get this in. So now there are Billy Goats. Let's see. We've got Navy Pier. Then over there near the Opera House in West Washington. 330 South Wells. You're out at O'Hare. We mentioned West Madison Street near the United Center, and the original place was where the United Center stands now. There's a Billy Goat Grill in the Merchandise Mart, and then you've got a Billy Goat Tavern in Washington, D.C. Now, you don't want to be doing that. Make people come to Chicago. Are you gonna spread out even more, or is that it?
You got a war. Well, right, yeah. We got a few places coming up, but not right now. It's still in like Illinois area. the way that we got out to D.C. was because this building here is the National Association of Realtors building, and they built a building out there, and we've been here for 40 years, and they asked us to come with them out there. So my dad has always wondered what it would be like outside Chicago, so we got a chance to do it, and it's doing well.
Here, being below Michigan Avenue, what is the actual address here?
This is the great thing about this place. You know the Billy Goat. It has one of the most rarefied addresses in the world. Its actual address is 430 North Michigan Avenue, and that's its address. That is the exact address.
But it's not on Michigan Avenue. It's on Hubbard.
Well, it's in this building. It's in the 430 North Michigan Avenue.
Oh, we're under Michigan
we're
Avenue.
Under Michigan
we're
Avenue.
Under. Yeah. We're under right. Hubbard Street
down here.
We're
on Hubbard Street, yeah. And it's turned into such quite an empire that you have here. And these days, you run it along with your 6 children?
Yes.
So how does that work? How do you guys divide it all up?
Well, they all work together.
And they work hard.
So anything if we need, when I go on Madison Street, I need a help, I call a guy, comes right over there, right away. We have one of the boys, a lawyer. But Sarah inside is he does a flipping a cheeseburger over here at the grill.
Yeah, he's a state's attorney, you know. And he works the grill Saturdays and Sundays here. And on New Year's Eve, when I came down here for my traditional New Year's Eve drink, what the new son-in-law is down here working.
Well, he's working too. Everybody works at the building.
And so, Bill, are you going to continue what your dad has picked up as long as you can?
Yeah, we're always going to, it's part of our family, you know, so we're, this is like home to me. So this is, it's a natural, we work 7 days, like 20 hours a day, but it's like being at home, you know, working at home. So you go to all the places and it feels comfortable. So yeah. We're going to continue it.
And it all started with your great uncle.
Great uncle, yeah.
All right, I think I finally have the history of the Billy Goat straightened
that's
out here.
Yeah, that's why I name it after Billy Goat Jr. I named his name after my uncle, because my uncle is Bill William Sianis, and when Bill comes out, I put Billy Goat Jr.
So your middle name is Goat.
Billy Goat, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's John Records Landecker and Bill Goat Sianis. Yeah. Okay. All right, so let's thank Rick Kogan for being here tonight, and also
for sharing his book.
Yeah.
Chicago Tavern?
Yep. It's all in there, the whole history. And what isn't in there, you can get by coming down here and talking to Sam Sianis or his son Bill or the bartender, Jeff McGill, or anybody in the place. Great to be with you guys tonight. Long may the Billy Goat live here underneath Michigan Avenue and at all the locations. And Marianne, before we go, just order whatever you want from Sam. Just, you know, a salad, something healthy. Just order anything.
I'll take
chicken fajitas is always good.
Yeah, go ahead. Order some Cuban dish.
Yeah. I'll have a medianoche.
Cheeseburger.
We'll be back after a break with a few final thoughts on WGN.
When you think limo, think M's.
For a great ride, call 847-446-5148, AMS Limousine. If you want a great ride, take AMS Limousine at 446-5148, and the area code is 847.
Don't we say something like guests of the Sunday Night Radio Special ride in AMS cars?
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah, our guests do, except that this time we actually walked over to the Billy Goat. So we didn't need a limousine or a taxi of any kind because we're half a block away.
That's right. Just below the Tribune Tower here. We've moved in front of the grill here. Let's not start a grease fire, Marianne. Be very, very careful.
I know. Why are we standing so close to this grill?
Well, we're hungry. That's why we want a late night snack.
I love the burgers here, by the way, because you get a double burger and you feel like you're really eating just half of a burger because they're so thin and they're so crispy. They're delicious.
You know, we just spent an hour talking about the Billy Goat celebrating their 75th anniversary, and we didn't really talk about the food that much, but you guys still and young son Bill is still handy here. You guys still start early and grind this stuff up fresh, don't you?
Yeah, we on our place on Madison Street, we get the big pieces of meat and grind them every morning and make them into the patties, and then we take them out all the places fresh every day.
So every day it's fresh. It really does taste like a fresh burger.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't put anything in it. Secret ingredient is because it's real meat. That's the secret ingredient.
So, these days, that is a secret.
Yeah, so we don't put anything in it. You know?
Yeah, and then you go over to the condiment table, put on the raw onion and the pickle, ketchup and mustard, whatever you want.
But every once in a while, there is an egg that is fried on this grill. I mean, I actually ordered and got one once.
Yeah, that's so the Bob Surratt special. I like the egg sandwich.
The famous egg sandwiches and the cheeseburgers.
Right. Yeah, you still have some salami around?
We got salami. Salami and eggs, if you want. Sandwiches, bacon, eggs, salami and eggs. Cheeseburger with eggs.
A cheeseburger with eggs. Is it a scrambled egg or is it like an over easy or over medium?
Depends however how you like want it. Yeah, however you like it.
That's going to be my next order here. No kidding. I've been craving a burger with an egg, you know, in the soft middle.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think you could probably swing that over here. This has been fun tonight, getting out of the studio, being in an exotic location.
I know. Yeah, we ought to do this more often, or else just come to the Billy Goat and hang out after our show.
Well, and that's what I like about this place, and even though the Sun-Times moved, those guys still hang out here, and of course the Tribune, even though the printing press is not here anymore. On Michigan Avenue, the Tribune Tower and the reporters are all here still, and the Chicago Daily News is long gone, as are some other papers, but the tradition continues. It's still a great hangout for the writers, and you gotta love that. And if you've never been down here, I'd say start here, lower level Michigan Avenue, and then try one of the other newer places. There's a few, but you got start here, start with the history here.
Yeah,
wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and by the way, I love that we're standing right next to the grill and hearing the sizzling.
Well, it can't beat that on a cold winter night. The Sunday Night Radio Special is produced and directed by Kristen Decker. Nick DiGilio is next. I will see you tomorrow on the noon show.
All right, have a great rest of your Sunday. Relax, go to the Billy Goat.
There's nothing left to Sunday.
Leave at, till 2 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, 2 in the morning in here.
Billy Goat. And then have a great week ahead.